Blog Talk Radio.
It's a poignant, transcendent journey. Riveting and raucous, it's a wild, exhilarating ride. Everybody fasten your seatbelts.
I am dominating at my fingertips.
And you're listening to Hell in a Cell Radio.
Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hell in a Cell Radio.
Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live!
The following presentation is controversial and may be offensive to some audiences. Discretion is advised.
Hello and welcome to the final edition of HIAC Talk Radio on Blog Talk Radio. We will be moving shop, but more on that in just a moment. I'm, of course, the Dean of Credibility, Double D. You can find me at Folsom County, and you can follow that official Twitter of HIAC Talk Radio, at HIAC Talk Radio. And you can also check out HIACTalkRadio.com. Make sure you get your tickets for all those summer movies that are starting to happen. There's some deals coming out later on that you'll get some free gifts once I put them up if you buy your tickets through HIAC Talk Radio. But more important, there's also a 20% off sale at MMA Warehouse. I'm going to get that information up there for you as well. Now, I'd like to introduce, he has been here from the very start. He is the above-average comedian, Dan the Man Colachico. Dan, how are you tonight?
I'm feeling great, being that this is the last episode of HIAC Talk Radio on Blog Talk Radio. So I'm very thrilled. Good things are coming. You can follow me and the adventures of I on the Twitters at DanLaw83. And Obey the Puck at Obey Puck Show.
That's right. Now, also with us, he is our MMA and wrestling analyst, and I can tell you what, he's a longtime close personal friend of mine, and we had a chance to talk before we went on air, and I can't tell you how excited he is to talk about Dan Hendo Henderson as we get ready for UFC 173 this weekend. He is, of course, Omega Squad Chris Green. Omega, how are you this fine evening?
The excitement is palpable. It's right up there.
It certainly is.
Because the fine folks can follow me on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
If they so desire.
If they so desire, it is Omega Squad on the Twitter. Now, tonight we will be joined by, in just about 27 minutes, a half hour from when the show was started, Stan the Man Styles. He has a lot of names that I'm sure he'll go into. I just hope he has a little decorum tonight, because I tried to get an interview over the weekend. Double Stump Videos has put out the web exclusive of that interview. So check that out. Go to the YouTube page for Double Stump Video. Just search for Double Stump Videos on YouTube and find that interesting, very interesting interview with Stan the Man Styles. But he is our guest tonight, and God knows, Dan, what we're going to discuss.
I will just say, the man is one of a kind, and God only knows what will be coming out of his mouth. Yes, that's
the best you can come up with.
That's appropriate in so many levels. Well, I had something else up, but I think I'll leave the dirtiness to him. So I just went with the same route you would. You never know what this man is going to say or do to any woman.
That's very true. We're going to talk about UFC. I already alluded to this fact. Of course, UFC 173 is on pay-per-view this weekend. Omega and I will get into that later on. Of course, it's headlined by Dillashaw and Barrow. Now, just very quickly, your pick on that one. Does Dillashaw even have a chance?
Well, he's got a chance, but
he's got the old MMA chance, I suppose.
But Hedin Barão is one of the pound for pound best in the world right now.
Burrell, Burrell, Burrell. Burrell. Henin Burrell. Probably the best pound for pound in the UFC right now. Some would say John Jones. Perhaps after Jones' last performance, that is true. But I have to go with Burrell.
I do as well. I think he's that good. So.
I do as well. So we'll talk about that. We're also going to talk about in just a few minutes this decision that we came to move from Blog Talk Radio. Now, the first edition outside of the Blog Talk realm will be tomorrow as Moose Knuckle Radio with myself and Justin. Perhaps, Donnie, I don't know.
Probably not.
We will be broadcasting through Mixlr. There is a chat room that is there for everyone to see. We'll be giving that information out. There will be a live embeddable player available to people if they want to listen along live. That will be on the website. So that's a bonus. But before we get into the show, I think it's time that we talk. Well, we plug ourselves.
Hey, do you want in on the zoo that is HIAC Talk Radio? We go to HIACTalkRadio.com. Every Monday night, if you're a hockey fan, we'll play the puck with Dan, Kelly, and Paul. Every other Tuesday, Moose Knuckle Radio with Gus and Adi. And once a month, HIAC After Midnight with Double D and MLJ. HIC Talk Radio with Dean, Dan, and Omega Squad Chris Green. It's wacky and crazy. HICTalkRadio.com.
So make sure you hear that. You go to HICTalkRadio.com. That will be pretty much the focal point from now on. Yes, the focal point will be HICTalkRadio.com. As we move away, and like I said, it's kind of a sad thing, but there have been a few things, Dan, that have grinded my gears.
Well, it appears I've been fired. Well, as long as I'm no longer working here, let me tell you something. You know what really grinds my gears? You, America. You.
You know, I'm listening to that Nirvana song there, Scentless Apprentice, by the way, available on In Utero, the 20th album, 20th year anniversary. A deluxe edition is now available. Check your local retailer for more information. However, as I listen to that, it shocks me on a number of levels. Nirvana, 20 years since In Utero was out, that's strange enough as it is. However, they are Rock and Roll Hall of Famers, and we didn't have a chance to talk about that, really, when it happened. Nirvana, if it wasn't for Kurt Cobain, I probably would have never picked up a guitar, got involved in jazz band, and started down this path that I'm currently on. So, well, fuck you, Kurt Cobain. Anyway, today is the last day that we're on Blog Talk Radio.
Well, that escalated quickly.
It did, didn't it? The best purchase he ever made was buying that shotgun. Anyway.
As we move on. That heroin pack is pretty impressive.
See, Dan, you just...
That line was there. That's great. You did.
Talking about the man's...
talking about the drug addiction, but shooting himself and buying a gun, that was a good idea.
Hey, connect the dots. I didn't directly say that. I said it was your best purchase. You had a lot of fun with that shotgun. Now, anyway, what I wanted to say is Blog Talk Radio, there are numerous reasons why this change is happening, why we are getting off of Blog Talk Radio. We have found a way that we can broadcast this program and the network of shows at better sound quality, which is probably the biggest concern of mine. Now, the sound quality right now, as you're listening, if you can listen right now, live as we're speaking, it's probably buffering right now, perhaps.
As it does, yes.
Perhaps it's buffering as you are attempting to listen, especially if you listen through Internet Explorer. I don't know why you don't have Firefox or Chrome or some other suitable internet browser instead of IE. But anyway, moving along, moving past that. Jesus. Internet Explorer.
Internet Explorer. God.
What's wrong with you?
What's wrong with you? Windows?
But anyway, that's the number one concern. Right now, it sounds as if we are on AM radio, which is fine. It gives it a nice vibe, I'm sure. But we sound like we're on AM radio, broadcasting to 15 people, which isn't much far from the truth. But we will now be broadcasting in stereo sound with CD quality. Now, Dan, your thoughts on stereo sound CD quality?
I always said that if you're going to put time into something, I'd rather have it sound like we tried instead of just throwing it together at last minute and just putting it out there, which is far from the case as far as Away the Puck, as far as HIAC, any show on this network. There's actually, we take time into doing the show. Dean puts a lot of time booking the guests, putting sound clips together, keeping this ship afloat and organized, and with the inconsistency, I'm being nice, the inconsistency on every time we're about to go on the air, the S doesn't work, and on top of that, it sounds like an LP that was, recorded at somebody's house in 1951. It just doesn't, it's not fulfilling anymore.
I can't wait until I can actually hear some of these theme songs and the Mystery Men in stereo CD quality.
It counts, you know, when you put together a piece with, you know, sound elements and music and a bed underneath it, and then it comes out like, it reflects, I think. I think it reflects negatively, not in a good way. So hopefully you can hear, starting next week, after, I think Obey the Puck will be the last official show on through Blog Talk.
That is correct.
But after that, hopefully, y'all who take your time and listen to the show will be able to hear the difference and the care and the time we put into this and actually have it come through on your speakers into your ears for you at home.
And they can hear that hum from your microphone that much better.
So I'm having a lot of mic problems. Finally, the true story, the shoot story of this microphone is it was the microphone used at that, was that the second or first? It was
that
the second show.
The second, yes. November, the second, 2012, Dan.
The second New Moon show from the relaunch, when Tank Tolan lovely put Justin America through a table. This was the mic that was bringing you the sounds of Dean Dixon and Brady Hicks. And it became a casualty, and it held out. It held out this well. But it's finally starting to fall apart from the cracks and the landing on that table. So
very
I apologize. It will be resolved by the end of this week for next week.
Very good. Very good. I can't wait for that.
Is the hum gone?
The hum is gone, but I think you're holding the mic now.
That would be correct, because when you have a tripod with two legs, it kind of doesn't work.
Hey, Dan.
Yes, sir.
How about you go get some string and just put the...
just hang it.
Just hang it.
Tie it around your neck. Take a picture, put it on.
Like the old news broadcast from the 60s. Where the guy would have a big metal thing coming off his chest. Yes, this is very professional today. The president was shot in the back of the motorcade coming into Dallas.
Now, as we move on, another reason. There's a lot of behind-the-scenes things that go on with Blog Talk Radio.
Oh. How many hours have you spent on the forum/chat room?
Oh, countless. Countless times. I can remember there was one episode, Dan, where we had, I think, like 17 guests lined up.
It was quite a bit.
We had the Nigerian Nightmares. Aaron Ganey was lined up that night. We had Keikoa as he was returning from Europe. We had his first interview coming back from Europe.
Oh, yes.
We also, I believe, Saigon was a guest, perhaps. I forget exactly who it was. Well, Saigon, we had a week of Saigon.
It happens to him like five times a day.
Yeah, so we finally got up and running that night. And as we got up and running, we had a presidential debate bleed through. Do you remember that? That was an odd evening, Dan.
Yes, I remember that. Why can't I hear what's going on the television at this point? And you thought it was me with the television up.
I had no idea what was going on. I remember talking to Aaron Ganey that night and speaking with him and saying, I'm not sure if you can hear that, Aaron, but Barack Obama is on right now. So I'm not sure. I think we're going to have to do this tomorrow. I think we had Ref Rich signed up for that night as well.
Well, I mean, Ref Rich was coming from a war bunker somewhere in Afghanistan anyway, on a hotline phone. So, I mean, that was...
You want to talk about poor quality, yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying, that's no disrespect. It sounded like he was on the landing gear of an airplane that was flying.
With a bag phone.
And he was cranking it. Hold on, guys, I'm still here. He was cranking it as he was talking. I am posting a picture of my jerry-rigged microphone for everybody who's listening right now.
So, Dan, I do have to say that moving from Blog Talk, with all the problems throughout the years, with the sound quality as it is, the fact that they own... Well, they reserve the right. I don't want to misrepresent here. They reserve the right to house, store, and broadcast your content.
So they own it.
No. They reserve the right to house, store, and broadcast.
They have an unrestricted right to it.
So they own it.
Basically, it sounds like they can do whatever they want with it.
Yes.
They can edit us into...
They don't own it.
Okay.
That's what I'm told. Now, to get a live embeddable player through Blog Talk Radio, now most people would have to go to Blog Talk Radio, perhaps see a video advertisement for the latest Acura, or whatever the hell it is now.
Were you looking at the picture?
Yeah. No, but video content. It does so much.
Here's what aggravated me. You go to our page, or you go to anybody. This is for anybody. This is for anybody who broadcasts on the Blog Talk Radio Network.
Oh, and there's other shows.
Yeah. You go to our page and go, hey. Don't listen to Hell in a Cell Talk. Listen to this guy or this person and this person about anything else other than what the hell you're on this page for. That's beautiful. I'm glad I'm paying you monthly for you to advertise other shows on my page. Thank you very much.
Very odd, isn't it?
Listen.
Leave a comment, but first, here's four shows that might pique your interest before.
Yeah, before you listen to this one, listen to the better shows. That doesn't make any sense. I get advertising money and revenue and that kind of crap, but I don't get why you're like, hey, listen to this stuff, not the one you came to the page for.
I asked because part of paying the package that we currently do for Blog Talk Radio, part of that you get 5,000 impressions. The response was, well, your impressions are spread out, basically how those four shows are underneath the comments right now. There's no way to count those impressions. And, well, I cried foul to that because you certainly can count impressions.
Yeah, it's easy.
The affiliate marketing that I do, I know exactly how many clicks, I know how many impressions, I know how many sales. You can't tell me that there's not a way to count those impressions. I find it hard to believe that we get 5,000 impressions per month on Blog Talk Radio. Another big problem I always had was the fact that I would ask what the selection system is to get the show featured. Now, you recall, during our time, we had the show featured a few times.
Yeah, many times.
We had it featured with, well, actually on the front page sort of thing.
Oh, God, I gotcha.
We had it featured with the Reverend Bob Levy. We had it featured with, I believe, Tully was featured, and I believe the director of Barbed Wire City was featured. There were a few others.
Phyllis Havage.
Yeah, John Philip Havage.
I could, yeah, I was close.
Savage, Pavage.
Pavage. Tomato, tomato. Let's call the whole thing off.
Burrell. Now. That's for later, so I remember.
Burrell.
Goulet. But
Jesus Christ.
Moving right along. I always asked, how do you get featured? Because it seems that since they got Tavis Smiley.
Tavis, God.
I hate the man.
Ooh, dude, he's all over my TV over here. You can't go to a PBS without seeing that son of a gun smiling on the TV for 4 hours.
True. Very true. He is big
on
PBS.
Oh, my God.
Now, it just strikes me as so odd that they tell me to have relevant current topics and that sort of thing. Now, I can't think of anything that was more relevant on the 50th anniversary of JFK than having two authors, published authors, on and discussing assassination theories, that sort of thing. Now, I will mention that Tavis Smiley, during this time, had four shows that were featured on the front page.
None of them do.
There were some cooking shows that were featured during the same time frame. I tried to get Dan Severin featured on the front page.
Who?
And he's a UFC Hall of Famer. He actually announced, that was the first time he announced he was writing an autobiography on this program. And that was denied. I don't know why. I've tried to get shows that we've done looking back, get them featured on the front page, because they have shows on the front page that are 6 months old. Take a look.
Yeah, I've been there. The same links that I've been there are still up there.
And I asked, I said, how do you get on the wrestling page? If you click on wrestling at the top of the thing, how do you get featured there? And there was no answer. Nobody from Blog Talk got back and answered this very easy question. How do you get featured on the archive wrestling main page of Blog Talk Radio? Now, there are shows that are dead. There are shows that nobody's around anymore, that sort of thing. So, needless to say, I felt the support that we were getting for the amount that we were paying was not up to par, and that is why this is the last broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. I'm looking forward to the endeavors with Mixlr. Now, Mixlr doesn't make any bones about it. They just give you a site, and here you go, and have fun. That's kind of the boat we're in now anyway, but with Mixlr, we can either choose to stay free, or we can get one of their pro packages. I believe we are upgrading to a pro package. Dan, and then Omega, your final thoughts is some memories of Blog Talk Radio, Dan.
My favorite one is when the countdown goes on, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1,
boop.
Blog Talk Radio. Thank you. Thank you for that. other memories. My favorite is going into the studio and queuing up a sound bit and pressing it three times for it to work. That's good.
That could have been on your end, Dan.
No.
I never had a problem with that.
No.
Just saying, I think that's on your end.
But, you know, while we're blaming Blog Talk, why not?
Oh, sure, why not?
And it wasn't my fault. And
I think it was.
Just, it's the quality thing that bothered me the most. It wasn't. But, because it's the whole thing, money for quality. That's what bothered me the most. If you want to give me, you know, lackluster or lack thereof support, okay, fine, because anything that I'm a customer of, their support sucks. So where that money's going, I have no idea. But mix all that and then the crappy quality, it was just, it's time to try something else. It was a good run. We were able to use it for when we needed it.
We found our voice, Dan.
We found our voice. It took a little while, but we found our voice. It is time to move on and get greener pastures.
Green as green can be in the wrestling sense.
The good green, not the bad green.
Well, depending on who you talk.
Which green am I?
I don't know what green you are. Green as goose shit.
Super
Omega
green.
Squad, your thoughts.
I've been called worse.
I'm green with envy as Omega takes the mic.
Yeah.
yeah.
How do you follow that shit? anyway.
Nice, watch your language.
Fuck you.
Sorry.
Fuck you too.
Anyway, as I was saying, I think my memory, I'm not sure this is Blog Talk's fault, but I think the memory of technical difficulties that I always remember is when we were talking to Dan Severin, we asked him a question. And then
we
all dropped.
Yes, we did.
We could talk to each other, but we couldn't hear him, and we lost the feed. We're scrambling to get back, and by the time we get back, minutes later, Dan is still talking.
He's still going.
Still answering the same question.
He was none the wiser.
He didn't know.
He had no idea. He went, and I think we got back on, and we were like, okay, we're ready, and he went for another minute and a half before we got a word. It was great. It was awesome.
That is a very fond memory.
Oh, God.
Omega.
I almost forgot about that, Chris. That's great.
It's time to become serious, because we have serious matters to attend to. Of course, it's Stan the Man Styles.
Serious business.
Oh, it's serious business when you get Stan the Man Styles on. Now, Stan the Man Styles was accosted this past Saturday night by a band of three men. I don't know who the hell they are. All I know is...
Were they in a band?
No, it wasn't a band. No, it wasn't that. It wasn't that gimmick.
Were they amigos?
They weren't amigos either. That would actually be better if they came out with Banditos outfits on, you know, the ponchos and shit.
Yeah.
That would be fun. Unfortunately, that was not the case. I know their logo looks like a vagina. So moving on.
Vaginas.
Well, I didn't say that, pal. Now moving right along, Dan. He was accosted.
Chris.
Apparently we saw the circumcision. Their words, not mine, of Stan the Man Styles. That happened, of course, at Relentless.
Ew.
You know, I would think it's an American custom, really, circumcision.
Yeah.
And I would have assumed that Stan...
It's a Jewish custom, but that's just...
Well, it is Jewish, but it's a long story. You know where circumcision comes from? It comes from this crazy doctor in the early part of the last century. The 20th century, for those taking notes. But this crazy doctor, he thought that it would stop men from masturbating. But moving right along, our guest is Stan the Man Styles.
I keep going.
And he'll be on right after this.
Satisfaction.
Now, I have personally been looking forward to this for quite some time. It is the HIAC debut of Stan the Man Styles. Stan, how are you this fine evening?
That's right. I'm doing a lot better than I was last weekend, that's for sure, Dean.
Well, since you brought it up, let's bring that up.
He brought it up.
Briefly.
I already brought it up already. It doesn't take me long. That's right.
Now,
here we go.
Comfortable. Okay.
Since you discussed that, you're not Skyping in the nude, are you?
No. That's the lyric tonight with the cutie patooties.
The cutie patooties. We'll get into all this, Stan, but I'd want to bring up the circumcision of Stan Styles. First of all, who the hell are those three guys? I have no idea.
I have no idea either. I was waiting for my opponent for her to come out. I knew there was girls in the back. There was girls, I hope, of me in attendance that night. I was getting excited. I was getting ready to have some fun. And these three jit whistles come, and then they're talking about this and that called the moral virtue, and telling me that I'm immoral and I'm not right and On Point's not right. And they insulted my home. They insulted On Point Wrestling. And you know what? They attacked me from behind, beat me down. I try to fight back, but there's 3-on-1. 3-on-1. So three attacks take me out. It did take three. And I really wanted a threesome that night. I wish three girls came in and tried to take me out, but that's another story. But you know what? And then they kicked me in my kumquats, and I called all the takeout. I called all the takeout I knew. I still have a little black book. You know, a lot of guys don't have the little black book anymore. I still have my little black book. I called everyone I knew. I called all the Asians I know. I knew all the Mexicans, all the French, and the Puerto Ricans, and the Filipinos. They all came over, and they took good care of the sex T-Rex that night. And I'm good as new. It takes a lot more than that to stop the sex T-Rex, and that's for sure. That's right.
Now, so we covered what happened on Saturday. Going forward, where do you see yourself with these guys? Are you going to try to take these guys out at the next On Point show?
Well, I mean, I see you were talking about the logo before, about their freaking vagina. It looks like a vagina. I don't understand what the hell they are. I mean, if they even have the balls, even if they have the balls to show up at that On Point show, there will be some altercations. All three will get a bitter taste in their face, that's for sure. But I don't care. You know what? I don't care, because I'm going to do exactly what I wanted to do. Last weekend, I'm going to challenge a girl, and I'm going to wrestle a girl, because that's what I want to do. And Stan Styles always gets what he wants.
Now, Stan, moving right along. Here. Let's go back to Biscuit Tits. Of course, Biscuit Tits was Ryan Castellucci.
The best word that was ever invented, Biscuit Tits.
Yeah.
Now, what happened to Biscuit Tits? I know we discussed this on the On Point, the Double Stomp exclusive video, but let my audience know what exactly happened to Biscuit Tits.
Well, Biscuit Tits, Ryan Castellucci. Every time I just hear his name, I just have to chuckle. And I feel bad for what happened to him because, you know, deep down, Ryan was a good guy, good person. I mean, he just stuck his nose where it didn't belong, or his Biscuit Tits where it didn't belong. And, I mean, he wanted to face me. I beat him twice. Third time's a charm. He wanted to beat me. He wanted to try to take me out. Wanted, you know, some recognition for the other two wins I beat him. And he pretty much saw my promo on him and got upset and kind of just moved out of his house, lost his girl because his girl, his beautiful girl, she came over to my Playboy pad and she forced up on me and I couldn't resist. And we had a lot of fun that night and then the other night and then the other night and the other night and then it led into the morning at breakfast, you know what I mean? That's right. And I guess I sort of kind of wrecked his life, and now he's living in some dump in Deptford in this little apartment. He posted some stupid pictures, and I feel bad. I hope Brian listens right now. I do feel bad. I'm very sorry, Biscuit Tits, that I did that to you, but it had to be done. It had to be done for the rest of On Point Wrestling. And I don't see that a lot of fans even miss them. So I kind of did a good deed for On Point Wrestling in that way.
See, with all this stuff you do on the way to the ring and inside the venues, you ever have any lawsuits or any harassment lawsuits ever brought up against you?
That's a good question, and we shouldn't really be talking about this on the air right now, but, I mean, why not? Because, you know, this is how I'm going to talk radio, so it doesn't matter, you know? You guys can curse and shit, right? Oh, I just curse. Oop, that's right. My lips are getting a little chapped. Let me moisten them up. I got to get them typically through to where my takeout comes over later. Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, lawsuits. I mean, there was that one time where I didn't ask the girl for ID, and things might have happened, but I got a lot of money. I got a lot of money, so I got a lot of expensive lawyers, and they took care of it. So I'm good as new. Nothing crazy. Okay, we won't say I lost or got sued for a lot of money, but there was some altercation sometime. But I mean, I just can't help it. Even the young chicks, they're growing up so young, and they're doubling up so fast, and they're young, and they look, you know, the 15-year-olds, they're 21, and they throw themselves on me, and sometimes I can't resist. I'm like, yo, give me the ID, let me check this out. And then if they say ID and stuff, I gotta get that, get that scanner and stuff, that checks out, I gotta invest in something like that, because it's getting crazy.
Well, there you go. Stan, I was so caught up in... and
yeah,
everything that's going on there. Now, Stan, let's talk a little bit about Triple WA for a moment, because, of course, you're big news there. Now, Triple WA, you returned back there. How long ago was it now?
Oh, I'm going to go back and probably say either November or December, and I made my return back to Triple WA.
Okay, so November or December, you come back. Now, you're a champion, if I'm not mistaken, in Triple WA.
Yeah, the high impact champion. That's right.
The high impact.
Impact, yeah. But honestly, Dean, the belt kind of looks like crap. So I think I'm going to change the name to the High of a Week title. I'm going to put all... Oh, I'm getting excited. Oh, my gorgeous highs of the week. All of the belt. Oh, yeah, I'm designing. I'm going to have the Bella Twins. I'm going to have Kelly Kelly. I'm going to have Paige. Oh, God. Don't get me started on Paige. Oh, we can save her for later. That beautiful English muffin. Oh, nice and tasty. Oh, I can't wait. But, yeah, it's going to be the high of the week title. Because I'm kind of, it looks like crap. I'm going to style it up, fix it up, make it look nice and fresh, nice and, that's right.
You know what, Stan, I'm going to play a snippet of music here for a moment, and I want you to give me your thoughts. It's about a 40-second clip, but I want your thoughts of this person when we get back.
Yeah, okay. Ooh.
Now, I think we don't actually need to hear the whole thing, but, of course, that's Emma. What do you think about
Emma? Oh, my God. I'm banging on my washer and dryer. Wicked. Oh, the cutie from the land down under. Oh, I can't get enough of her either. She ain't enough on TV. They need to put her back on a little more. That's right. Her and Paige. Oh.
So, Paige, the English muffin. Now, is she what you would call a cutie patootie?
Oh, she's more than a cutie patootie. Ooh, she's more like a sex bag, if you know what I mean. Oh. If you don't know what that means, ladies and gentlemen, look that up. Google that.
Google. Now, what was the term you used?
Sex bag.
Sex bag. I'm writing that down for my notes here.
How can you forget sex bag?
Sex bag.
Yeah.
Hey, my mind's not in the gummer. Dan, take
mine
it away.
Yeah. I was gonna say if his mind wasn't in the gutter, he'd be homeless. Do you think he'd ever be able?
What does that even mean?
If the mind wasn't in the gutter, he'd be homeless. He understood it. I didn't.
I'm not thinking Emma.
You just had another moment, and you're trying
that
to...
That makes perfect sense!
It doesn't make perfect sense.
It does for everybody but you, Dean. You did.
Dan, hold on for a second. Omega, did that make sense?
I'm going to side with Dan on this one.
Thank you! Yes!
How does that make sense?
It makes sense.
If his mind wasn't in the gutter, he'd be homeless. What the hell does that mean?
He lives in the gutter. I've made my ruling.
I have to stand by it.
Back to Stan Styles. I'm going to tiptoe around this question. Is it better now with the circumcision, or was it better before?
Well, like I said, they can't break the shake weight, and I'm talking about the real shake weight. They can't ever break it. It's something that will never be broken, all right? So I would say it's good as new, maybe, just maybe even better. I mean, maybe if my cutie patootie kids were here a little early, you can ask them live on the air, and they'll tell you just how good it is. That's right.
Well, now, I do have a very serious question here.
Oh, let's get serious.
Now, I really don't have a serious question. Stan?
I actually do.
Go ahead, Dan.
A guy that is cut like you, how often do you ever miss a day training?
No, I'm always in the gym banging and clanging, and I go with my Playboy pad and lovely scissors, and I bang and clang on the cutie patooties all day and all night long. So come on, I'm exercising 24/7. That's why I'm so freaking jacked and ripped, dude. I'm just fucking jacked and ripped, and I look at myself in the mirror, and I'm like, God, I look so damn good. 8 times champion because of the abs. That's right. And the girls, they can't get enough. They can't get enough because I have so much stamina, so much energy. Built up, and they just, you know, I just keep coming and coming and coming, and you know, they love it. That's right.
They love it indeed. Now, Stan, I do have to ask about the shake weight.
Yes,
now,
the shake weight.
You come to the ring with the shake weight. You're very possessive of the shake weight. Your hands are always gripped upon your shake weight.
Yeah.
When you get a little excited, the shake weight goes off. What's up with the shake weight?
Like I said before, it's a good device for pumping up those biceps, my big, huge biceps, might I add, and I'm actually holding it right now, Dean, and it's pretty heavy. It's about 5 pounds, maybe 6, and, you know, I like to grip it real hard. It's good for gripping, and I have a really strong grip. You have any of the female wrestlers I wrestled in that ring, and they'll tell you, it's not just a grip on them, and that's right, and this thing helps it. I mean, yeah, exactly. It's almost like when I get excited, the shape it gets excited. It feels the excitement, and it's got explode all over, and sometimes I explode all over the fans, and I don't mean to do that, but it happens, and it's just all good fun.
Now, let's talk about I want to talk about somebody you've crossed paths with quite a few times. Mark Angel. Your thoughts on Mark Angel?
Yeah. I've been wrestling Mark Angel all over the place, and he beat me sometimes, and I beat him, and we're going back and forth. We're having some awesome matches, and it's going pretty well, and I think he's trying to take my Hottie Louie title. I'm not going to say that. The higher of the week title off the way, and you know he wants it really bad, but you know what, he can keep wanting it really bad because he's never going to get it. No, I always get what I want, and that title stayed around my sexy waist, and he can't take it. No, and he knows it. He can dream, but it's never going to happen. That dream always gets crushed when he's in the ring with a sexy Rex, the Pink Powerhouse. And that's right.
Nope. Let's talk about something else now. Now, you've had the opportunity to wrestle women in the past. One of those women is a former guest of ours, Addie Starr. How would you break down that match with Addie Starr? She's a very unique Canadian-American.
Oh, she's so gorgeous. Oh, she's like a French-Canadian pastry. That's what she is. Oh, and she's hardcore. She don't wear that much makeup, but she's got that natural beauty, and she's got some muscle, and she's tall. I like tall model. I like the legs, and she's got a hell of an ass. Oh, yeah. And she's so hardcore. She does that Lego deathmatch stuff. God, I don't got Legos for her, but I got a Lincoln Log she can play with. That's right. Yeah, remember those Lincoln Logs?
I remember the Lincoln Logs. Now, did you ever have a chance to play with Addie Starr's Legos?
Oh, Dean. Well, after that match, you know, she gave me a shot to my kumquats. And again, you can't take out the kumquats. You can't destroy the shakelets. It's indestructible. And she was sorry, you know. She didn't mean to do that. She kept on giving me a hug, and I was embracing those hugs, you know. Those Canadian fun bags all over on my body, and it felt so good. And I was like, oh yeah, Addie, it's okay. Don't worry, it's okay. I should have been smarter. I said, you really hurt me, Addie. I think you should need to come over and fix me up. You know what I mean? You like to eat that poutine, you know, the poutine, the fries, and the gravy? Well, I would have plenty of baby gravy for her. Oh, that's right.
Did you just say baby gravy?
Yes, baby gravy, baby batter, whatever she wants.
Okay. Yeah. Beta Scott, she is another one that you've had the opportunity to get in the ring with. Your thoughts on that match? It's been seen a lot on YouTube.
I didn't check, but it's probably about 200,000 views on YouTube, and Beta Scott, she's so popular now on the indie scene. She's so luscious. I want to call her Luscious Beta Scott now. I hope she uses that name, Luscious Beta Scott, because she's so luscious, and she's shorter than Addie Starr, but it's okay, because she's got that feisty attitude and that schoolgirl look with the glasses and stuff, and the little skirt, and oh, God, you know what, maybe, I was actually hoping that she was going to come out and try to revenge on that first match we had when I gave her the face. That's right, but it was just, but anyway, I'm not talking about them anymore. I definitely would want to get in the ring again with Beta Scott or Addie Starr, or both at the same time. Oh, when we draw, Beta Scott always wins, if you know what I mean. That's right.
Hey, Stanzels, you ever have somebody, male or female, try to get out of the match after you've come out to the ring?
I have not. I mean, see, some opponents of mine, they get intimidated. Some of them don't. They think I'm a joke. But then when I rip off my pants and I show what I'm working with, and I show the audience what I'm working with, then they get scared. Then they run away. But then the match, I already have the match won in my head. See, I like to manipulate and have my way with my opponents. And once the pants come off, the match is over. That's right.
Now, Stan, your finisher is called the facial.
Yes.
Now, how did you come up developing this? For those that don't know, it's a palm strike, but sometimes it's accentuated with a few things. Stan, how did you come up with the facial?
It's not more than just a palm strike. It's a palm strike. I don't know where I just happened, you know? Sometimes, you know, the best things in life just happen, and it just happened, and I just did it. And it felt good, and I felt relieved, and I won the match, and that was it. 1, 2, 3. That was the climax, and that's just pretty much what happened. And I actually have a new finishing maneuver, the submission maneuver I've been working on, called the gag reflex. Mark, you don't fuck the gag reflex. The gag reflex always makes them tap out. That's right. Yeah.
The gag reflex. Now,
man, I'm tired. I need a cigarette.
What is the gag? I'm trying to think of how to word this, but describe
the gag reflex move.
Describe the gag reflex. Yes.
The gag reflex is pretty much I get the guy and it's or a girl, probably a girl. I'm kind of a guy anyway, but. And a side effect, which I like to call the meatpacking plant. Oh, yeah, plant it in there. And then I just wrap the hand around their neck, and I put my other arm around there, and then I freaking choke back real hard, and I choke on it, and I thrust up in the air, adding more pressure to the hold, and I tap out and gag on it. Yeah, that's right.
All right, now, it's time to get a little serious here, Stan. We've been having a little fun.
Yeah, always.
Now, have you ever ended a match prematurely?
I actually did. I had a match where my opponent got into the ring, and it was facial, 1, 2, 3, and that was it. So if you want to talk about premature, that pretty much was it. I wasn't even building it up. I just, you know what? I said, bam, that's right, done. Bitter taste in their face.
That's right. Now, Stan, what are your thoughts going forward with On Point Wrestling? On Point Wrestling is your home, right?
Yes. Well, Dean, I mean, like we were talking about before, these three jib whistles, the moral virtue, want to try to stop me. They try to stop me, but they didn't get the job done. Who was that, fart? Ooh, creepy. I hope that was a girl. Is any of the girls on the three guys? The fart is that tonight? I think you need to get some TVTs on this show because there's too many doctors right now. But anyway, let me get back to you.
That was Dan. That was Dan. I'm sorry. But go ahead.
That was Dan. He's probably having a heart attack right now. Anyway. So. Oh, that's right. But yeah, moving forward here at All Point Wrestling, July 19th, Swole, New Jersey. What they call it now? Shoot in Swole, whatever the hell it is. I don't care about these whistles anymore. I don't care. You know what? I don't think they're even going to show up. Or maybe they don't have the chance to show up. maybe I'll take care of all three before the show, making sure I can wrestle Lita Scott, Addy Starr, who's the other one? Oh, Tiggy Cartwright, or Marty Bell, or somebody else from WSU, or Kimber Lee, or maybe Paige will come down. Maybe she'll be hearing this and she'll get mad and try to go to Sex Direct, or even Emma, or maybe even Kelly from the, or Rita, or Trish Stratus. Oh, there's so many. We're a wrestling team.
Whoa. You're naming all these names, but you have unfinished violence with Chrissy Rivera.
You're right, I do. Well, you see what happened. She slapped Blount in the face. And, you know, I did a hottie of the week on her. And I thought that, you know, maybe she would have sent me a Facebook message or something where she got real mad and yelled at me. Because that's how I expect things. That would have really turned me on. But I haven't heard a lot from Chrissy Rivera in the past couple of weeks, maybe even months, and maybe just that hot of a week was just too much for her to handle, and maybe she's in her room, and she tied herself up, and she's maybe half naked, and she's waiting for the locomotive of the lust to come ride. Oh, that's right. Well, she's behind me. It doesn't matter.
That's very disturbing, Stan. Now, I'm
well,
just thinking
happen,
of Chrissy. Well, I guess anything's possible.
Now,
you always make me smile. I think that's something that you've heard plenty of times before.
Oh, yeah. I love when a girl has a nice smile. It's a good target.
Never mind.
Anyway, Dean, go on.
Yes, my final question, and this might cause a little trouble.
Oh, boy.
But it has to be asked. Now, you have been sided with highly entertaining wrestlers, of course, Loudy, Drew Blood, Xavier Cross. However, yeah. When the three, what do you call them, jit whistles? When the three jit whistles.
The G-root whistles, yeah.
When they came out and attacked you, where were they?
I don't know. I guess they were both getting ready for their match. That's a good question. Where were they? Where were they, you know? Where was the hell? Where was the jury at? I mean, are these guys even wrestlers? I don't know. They're pretty much shitting on my home, and the only person that shits on All Point Wrestling is me. And maybe I can... No, I'm not going there. That's a little too X-rated for this radio station. That's wrong. But I don't know. I don't know where Xavier Cross or Loudy or Drew Blood were. I'm assuming they were getting ready for a match, or... That's a good question. That's a very good question, and I don't think I have an answer to that, Dean. That's a very good observation, Dean.
I think that deserves a further look as we go to Showdown at Soul.
Yes,
Stan,
it does.
Now, if a cutie patootie or an English muffin or a French-Canadian pastry would like to follow your career,
well,
where can they do so?
Well, I am on Dino Rhino on Twitter, but I don't like to use Twitter too much for some reason. I get too weird tweets and stuff, so I don't really use that. I don't use Facebook. You can Facebook me at Stan Styles with one Z. I mean, there's two Zs. Everyone gets confused how to spell my name. It's one Z. For some reason, Facebook don't like my name for some reason, but you know the hell with Facebook. Screw them.
There you go. So find him on Facebook. Just search for Stan Styles with a Z.
Yeah.
Stan. I have to commend you. You held back a little tonight, and I appreciate that.
You think I did?
We try to have a respectable program, and a person of your class really brightened things up here tonight. I want to thank you for containing yourself.
I was trying to be a good boy, Dean, but I can't.
He was trying to last a little longer.
Yeah.
Stan, final words.
Yeah, I was trying to last a little longer, but you got talking about Paige and Emma, and Oh, I may become a little premature. But anyway, guys, it's been good. The takeout. Oh, I can see them. They're pulling up. And they come. Oh, come on, girl. The sixth T-Rex has been waiting for you, guys. Oh, oh God. I'm getting excited, and I'm about to blow already. Oh, I'm out of here. That's right.
Touch me till I can get my satisfaction.
Push me and then just touch me till I can get my satisfaction.
I feel dirty.
Well, well. Omega.
Yes, sir.
You're still with us.
I am still with you.
Barely.
I'm still here.
Well, that's very good. Because I believe it's about that time, Omega.
Is it?
It's Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, it's that time. Ah.
Besides the fact that Congress will be taking off another 5 days, it is time for the annual UFC pay-per-view on Memorial Day weekend. Now, of course, this is going to be a bantamweight title fight to top things off, but more importantly, that co-main event will have Dan Hendo Henderson taking on Daniel Cormier. We'll get to all that. There's... That main card, those top three fights, I'll tell you what.
Those are good top three fights.
Oh,
absolutely.
Definitely. Now, this is taking place Saturday night, pay-per-view, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Las Vegas, Nevada, again, hosts this wonderful event. Now, let's start out with Henan Barao. He is taking on T.J. Dillashaw. We started off the program at the top of the hour discussing Dillashaw's chances. Let's go a little more in depth now. T.J. Dillashaw, how do you feel about his chances, Omega?
Well, you look at Dillashaw and you see a guy who's really improved since The Ultimate Fighter. I mean, he was really pretty much just a wrestler with at least a decent striking ability coming out of The Ultimate Fighter. And then, of course, you know, coming out of Team Alpha Male, he was training with Dwayne Bang Ludwig, really got his striking up to par. And now he's really become quite an interesting little fighter. He's got some pretty good wins. You know, he ran into Rafael dos Anjos, who really should be getting his title shot, but the timing was on, couldn't handle the quick turnaround to get this fight for Barao. So Dillashaw gets this call up. He's won some fights. I mean, he fought Mike Easton, who isn't bad. Mike Easton's kind of a lower top 10 fighter in that division. And but Dillashaw has been racking up the wins other than the Sun Tzu, and he looks real good. Now, that being said, probably could do with two or three more fights before getting this shot, because I don't think he's seasoned enough for a fighter of the caliber of Henan Barao.
I can certainly agree with that as well. Barao, as we were saying earlier, Barao is. Now, he's ranked number 3, pound for pound. John Jones is number 1. Jose Aldo is number 2. But Barao, in my opinion, is number 1.
I would agree. I think Aldo, I mean, let's face it, John Jones and Jose Aldo deserve to be in that conversation. They've held their titles longer. And I think that does speak kind of why some people are ranking Hennen and Brow ahead of John Jones and Aldo ahead of Hennen and Brow. But for my money, Hennen Brow is one of the most talented fighters in the world right now. He's got all kinds of crazy submission skills, crazy strikes, very fast, very elusive. He's really got it all, the whole package, and he's very young. He has all sorts of tools available to him. He is just dynamic. He is frightening to watch in a lot of ways. This fight should be a fairly easy win for him, I think. I think Dillashaw doesn't really present any problems for Brow. Brow, you know, a wrestler's Brow can handle him. He's very, very elusive on the ground. He can get up quickly. He can go for submissions off his back. He's got all those tools. Wrestlers don't bother him. His striking, Dillashaw's striking isn't that great that Brow is going to be very concerned about it. I think Brow's going to, you know, use his leg kicks, uses strikes to get in quick and land the shots. I don't know that it's going to be a knockout victory for Brow. I think this could go all five rounds, and that's what I'm going to think. But I think Brow's going to take this fairly easily.
I agree with that as well. Brow is just in a class of his own. Defeated. I mean, the guy's on a 32 win streak here.
This is a guy who's lost once. In his debut.
Yeah, since then has just torn it up.
In 2005.
Yeah, torn it up since then. It's undefeated in UFC, undefeated in WEC. The guy is just amazing to watch, and this should be another win for him. I can't see it any other way. So we're both going. Dillashaw's lucky if he gets out of the second round. I'm going TKO in the second.
But, you know, it could very well go that way. I mean, we've seen that Eddie Wineland fight with Brow where he pulled out that spinning back kick was great. You know, he can knock a guy out. He can submit guys. He's got all the tools to do it. I think Dillashaw might be a bit of an athletic test and might be able to avoid getting knocked out for five rounds. I'm going to go by decision.
All right. Now moving along, of course, this is the fight I'm looking forward to. It's a light heavyweight battle. It is relative newcomer to the light heavyweight division. Daniel Cormier taking on a veteran of various weight classes. Of course, a two-time Pride champion, held the titles at the same time. Strikeforce light heavyweight champion as well. A lot of accolades. Dan Henderson. Now, before we get into where we see this, well, I guess we're kind of getting into it, but Dan Henderson, how do you feel his chances are? Because Daniel Cormier is just very, very strong, especially at the light heavyweight division.
Yeah, well, Cormier is certainly not going to be intimidated by Henderson's wrestling.
No.
You know, these are both excellent wrestlers. They're both Olympic caliber wrestlers.
Even if one of them's forgot how to wrestle.
True. exactly. But I'm not going to say that they're going to cancel each other out. I think probably Cormier probably has the better wrestling in this case.
Well, he's younger and stronger.
Yeah, I mean, he's bigger. I mean, he's got the younger, stronger. He's not bigger, which is weird, but he's tough, and he's going to be a tough out for anybody. His striking's really improved. You know, Henderson's going to win this. He's going to have to win it with the power. He's going to have to find a way to tag Cormier. And what we really haven't seen from Cormier, I don't think, is someone who's really tested his face, really, really laid into Cormier with strikes and see if they can knock him out. I think that's the one place where Cormier has not been tested. Now, Cormier may be smart enough not to get that to that point, because if Henderson starts to land shots, he may just go for the wrestling and then take Henderson down and then try to either submit him or just grind him out from there. It's completely possible. I don't think that Cormier is going to be able to knock out Henderson, because Henderson is tough. I mean, he's absorbed some crazy shots, come from behind victories. You know, the Hua fights are will show how much punishment he can take.
Yeah.
He's just a tough guy to knock out. And
only been knocked out once, and that was a guy on TRT.
Right. So, yeah, I just don't see Cormier being that guy because I don't think Cormier's striking is that awesome. He's improving, absolutely. He's becoming a complete mixed martial artist, but I think I just don't think Cormier's path to victory lies in necessarily knocking out Henderson. Henderson's path to victory has to lie through that. He has to be able to put Cormier on his back via strikes. I think that's really the only way to victory. Now, how much chance does he have? I don't know. I think he's got a decent shot because he does cock that right hand, but, I mean, this isn't going to be like Hua. Cormier's is a lot quicker, a lot more athletic. He's not going to stand in front of Henderson and allow him to lock up that right hand. I don't see it happening. I think this is going to go the distance. I think Cormier is going to grind out a three round decision over a Dan Henderson this time. Sorry.
No. you have to look at things realistically. Although I probably put more weight on the H-bomb. And I hope that Henderson can cock up and, you know, really land an H-bomb early. Now, if he gets to Cormier in the first round, he has a very good chance to win. If it goes past the first round, it's just simply an age factor. And this is the first fight where Henderson himself has been off the TRT. So we're going to see a new Dan Henderson without the replacement therapy.
Yeah.
It really lies in the fact if he can strike early and... If he can, he wins. If he can't, then it's going to be a decision for Cormier, and unfortunately, I do feel that that's how it's going to go, Cormier by decision.
Yeah, I think there's one thing that we haven't really... One question I have is about Cormier and about whether or not this weight cut's going to affect him. I mean, he did have the win versus Patrick Cummins, but that was quick.
You know? And that was... Please.
Yeah, that was not even a fight.
That was not even UFC caliber talent.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was... So we haven't seen him in deep waters. So if it goes to decision, you know, will this weight cut from down to 205 affect him? Now, I don't think it will. I think, you know, a guy with that kind of athletic pedigree shouldn't have any problem cutting weight, especially a guy who has a wrestling background who's cut weight all his life. Shouldn't be an issue, but it will be interesting to find out if what we say with the decision comes to fruition, what is the third round going to be like?
Yeah. Granted, this was in a different weight class. This was heavyweight. The three-round decision that he went with Roy Nelson, he did seem to have pretty good cardio still.
Yes, he did. He certainly did at that weight. So, I mean, you would say, I mean, and he did have weight to lose. He doesn't really seem too bad at 205, but he did look a little drawn out in his last fight. So it's hard to say. How much impact that's going to have. I don't, like, again, I don't really believe it. I think he'll probably be fine, but we'll have to see.
Now, another fight that has title implications on it, my friend. Of course, former contender Robbie Lawler taking on Jake Ellenberger. This really has a chance for fireworks on Memorial Day weekend, let me tell you that. Your thoughts on this one? This is probably the fight to see.
I can't see how this fight's going to be boring. I just cannot see how this is going to happen. These are two guys that go out and strike with the best of them. Just don't care. We'll throw punches back and forth, stand in the pocket, and just trade. And both of those guys are pretty tough. In this case, Robbie Lawler has looked awesome in recent memory. And even though he lost his last outing for the title against Johnny Hendricks, he looked very good doing so.
Yes.
He looked very good up until the fifth round where he started to fade a little bit. This is a three-round fight. He's not going to have to go five rounds. And for three rounds, I think he can be dominant. Ellenberger is not the kind of guy who can out-punch Lawler. He's got a good wrestling base, but Lawler's also got a good wrestling base. It's not it probably better than Ellenberger's, quite frankly. So I think Lawler, in this case, is just better where he needs to be better, and that's both on the feet and on the ground. In Ellenberger, I mean, he just hasn't looked terribly good since his loss to Martin Kamen. He's won a couple fights against Jay Heron and Nate Marquardt, who you know, I don't necessarily see either of those guys as huge threats. And then lost to Rory McDonald. So, you know, it didn't look impressive in that. Rory McDonald pretty much picked him apart for three rounds. This is a fight. It's prime for fireworks because, you know, these guys will trade blows. But I think it's going to come down to Robbie Lawler. I think he's going to get a KO and it's going to be in the first round.
Really? Wow.
I think it's going to, I think it's going to go quick.
Wow. I'm going Lawler as well, but I'm gonna give Ellenberger till the second.
That's nice.
And same method of victory. So, moving along now, this next fight, I don't know much about either guy. Francisco Rivera, Mezugaki, obviously from Japan.
Go ahead.
Like I said, I don't know much about either guy.
Yeah, Mizugaki's been around for quite a while. He's had some really good fights, too. He's fought some really good guys in the
band. He's rated number six.
Yeah, he is top 10 caliber. I mean, he's fought a lot of really good guys. He just hasn't been able to beat them. I mean, you look at his record. He's fought Miguel Torres way back in WEC days when Miguel Torres was awesome. Uriah Faber, Brian Bulls, Chris Carriasso. These are all guys that are really good, but he's lost to them all. His wins, he's racking up these wins, sure. He's on a four-fight win streak, but you know, Nam Phan, Eric Perez, Brian Carraway, these are not guys we think of as top-caliber talent. So I don't personally believe that his number six ranking is really reflective of his talent. It's more about the talent level of the bantamweight division right now. He's really good though. He's a really pressure fighter. He's gonna be very aggressive. He's gonna stand in the pocket. He's gonna weather the storm and try to trade some shots. But he doesn't have the kind of power to knock a guy out either. I don't know a whole lot about Rivera either. He's only fought he's fought four times in the UFC. He's fought George Roop, fought Edward Figueroa, and then had a no contest. He lost that fight, but was overturned on, I think it was a stimulant or over-the-counter stimulant for DeLorme. Hasn't had much success. He has had success in recent memory, at least as far as UFC goes, but against no one of note. I don't think that Rivera's going to be able to handle the kind of pressure that Mizugaki is going to be able to bring on. He's just another one of these tough guys that just doesn't get knocked out, and I think that Rivera is going to be the kind of guy to... He's going to try. I don't see the knockout coming. So I think I'm going to take Mizugaki on this one by decision.
I simply don't have enough information on either guy to give you my response. So we're going to move on to Varner taking on Krause. What do you think of that one?
Yeah, you know what? It surprised me because I think of Jamie Varner. I think about a guy who's really got good striking and good ability, but he's really not had much luck in the UFC. He's 3-4 in the UFC. He's on a 2-fight losing streak, which I didn't even realize. Lost the last three out of his four. He had a good fight with Joe Lozon, but lost to Abel Trujillo and Gleison Tibau, but looked good doing it. I mean, he's a good fighter. He's an exciting fighter. He just hasn't seemed to put it all together. That being said, James Krause being relatively new, at 1-1 in the UFC, I think that's a good setup fight for him. I think this is a chance for Varner to get back in the win column and do it in exciting fashion. I think it's gonna, you know, set up well for him. I think Varner's gonna take this one probably with a late TKO. We'll call it the third round.
All right, I'm having a few technical difficulties here myself. I apologize. I believe we're still on air. Yes. So. Anything on the prelims? Got your?
Yeah, you know, there's a few things in here that, you know, there's nothing in here that screams at me that I need to see. But, you know, Michael Chiesa versus Francisco Trinaldo could be a good fight on the prelim main event. I think that's one setup for Trinaldo to win. I think Chiesa, if he can get you on the mat, he can certainly choke you out fairly easily. You know, Chris Holdsworth in the bantamweights is a guy to look out for. He looked pretty good in his UFC debut. I'm interested to see where he goes. And then Aya Quinta on the lightweight fights. He's been on a very, very big roll and I'd like to see where he can go overall. He's not ranked, but I mean he's got some talent. I'd like to see if he can pick up a win there. And Anthony Nohoh Jaquani on the lightweight fight as well. I mean, just a name we've seen. He's middle of the road, but I think he can have a decent fight. So not terribly excited, but I think there's enough here to watch. So
yeah, definitely. So that's of course Saturday night. What's the favorite fight of yours going in? What do you think is going to be the one that people will walk away talking about?
I really got to look towards that Robbie Lawler and Jake Ellenberger fight. I mean, that's just set up
explosive,
completely for fireworks. And you know, if Lawler is truly on a mission to get back to a title shot, he can make a statement here. I mean, it sets him up to get another rematch with Hendricks. I think he's going to come out, he's going to be motivated, and I think he's going to start launching bombs right from the top. So, don't blink.
Definitely there now. Of course, over the weekend, Bellator 120 took place. The debut for Bellator on pay-per-view. Pay-per-view numbers are not back yet. Strangely enough, they should be back. However, let's discuss something right now. The main event was Quentin Rampage Jackson, who did not want to go to the ground, taking on King Mo. Now, this went to the judges' scorecards, 29-28 by all three judges. What did you think for the main event and Rampage Jackson there?
Well, I mean, I actually didn't see the fight, so I didn't see any of the Bellator fights this week, which goes to show you probably what the pay-per-view numbers are going to look like overall. This whole card, reading the what happened, just sounds like it sounds like a complete disaster for Bellator. But I see people spinning it as, you know, good for them because, you know, they have people talking about it. I'm like, but yeah, but they're talking about it for the wrong reasons. who cares? But this with Rampage and King Mo, was King Mo robbed? Maybe. But the shenanigans that went on afterwards, the pushing, the shoving, the trash talking after, at the press conference, it just ridiculous.
They were trying to create some buzz for a somewhat fledgling promotion. And this pay-per-view had a lot of trouble getting off the ground.
I get it, but I mean, it just does not come across well. I don't think it didn't come across well to me. Granted, I didn't watch it, but I mean, from what I've heard, it just reflects very badly and just goes further to cementing Bellator as a second-rate promotion, in my view.
No, true. So, did you hear enough about there was a lightweight title change, if I'm not mistaken?
Well, it was an interim belt.
Because Alvarez is hurt, right?
Right. Well, Alvarez is hurt, and Michael Chandler was supposed to fight him, and they had an interim title with this Will Scott, I believe his name is?
Brooks. Will Brooks.
Relative unknown. And
he's your new champion.
And he's your new champion. Which is, now, this is, we've said this a million times, when we talk about fights, that it's MMA and anything can happen, and in this case, anything seemed to happen. The crazy thing is, to me, the talk afterwards, after the fight, is that they're still going to make Chandler and Alvarez. Even though Chandler's got the belt, the real belt, Brooks has an interim belt. You would think that the next fight would be Brooks and Chandler.
Yeah.
Or Brooks and Alvarez, but...
Well, this is Bellator for you.
But that's Bellator, which...
This is why we don't discuss Bellator, really.
Well, I understand where Bellator's coming from. You know, from a marketing standpoint, it makes sense to have the trilogy of Alvarez Chandler, but God, I mean, why? But it does speak to, you know, what your priorities are. If you do you want a legitimate title, or are you just really just putting on fights? If you're just really just putting on fights, then why do you have a title in the first place?
True. Well, they've always been kind of strange with these tournaments and that sort of thing, and now they're doing title. I just, heads or tails, you don't know what Bellator is doing. It's a very confusing promotion to try to follow, quite frankly. And that's why I don't give it really the time of day. That's why I think Legacy is actually a better promotion. And it's not because we've had Mick Maynard on and that sort of thing, but it's simply because we've had Mick Maynard on because of how I feel about Legacy. You know what I mean? It's, I don't know. Bellator just confuses the...
Yeah, Bellator really doesn't give me much reason to watch. And that's kind of what it is. I mean, they have talent like Eddie Alvarez and Michael Chandler, but those are few and far between. What do you do the other weeks that you're on? Most of the time, I don't even know they're on.
Check Congo. That's what you do.
Yeah, it just does... It is not, and any fight can be good. It doesn't mean that Bellator's fights are not necessarily good. It just, you know, part of it is this MMA saturation we keep talking.
True.
We watch. I mean, we're here talking about UFC again. You know, when we started this program, we would go 3 weeks without talking about UFC because there was a lull in the fight cards. We talk about them every week now,
mm-hmm.
because every week there's a card of some sort. Or there's either one to preview or one to discuss. I mean, it's just so much, and it's just only so much I can watch. And quite frankly, if I'm going to watch something, I'm going to watch the premier organization. And that's really what it comes down to with Bellator.
Making his Bellator debut, and I know you're trying desperately to get away from Bellator, and I apologize. But
no, that's fine. We should talk about it.
Tito Ortiz getting his first win in almost 3 years, defeating Alexander Shlemenko.
Yes. Again, about Bellator's champions. Tito Ortiz is what, 38? 36?
Is
I don't know.
Older than that? I'm checking right now. Go ahead.
Whatever. He's old enough. They have a fight with their welterweight champion. They bring him up.
39.
Yeah, okay. He's almost 40. They bring him up. They take their champion from a lower weight class, bring him up to fight Tito Ortiz, and then he gets choked out. So,
God bless Bellator.
It's just like, wow. I mean, you don't know that going in, and you can't blame him for that. But I mean, you set yourself up for a guy who is by all accounts undersized for his division. You have him move up in weight to fight a guy, an older guy, a veteran, and he gets choked out. How bad does that look? I mean, there are certain risks you weigh with anything, and a fight's going to go whatever way it goes. I have a hard time believing that Tito Ortiz was worth enough to sacrifice my champion for.
I'm just surprised that they have champions, quite frankly. Alexander Volkov beat Blagoev Ivanov. Probably saying that wrong. That was a submission, a rear naked choke in the second round. Michael Page defeated Ricky Rainey with a nasty TKO, in case you haven't seen that. And in the main event on the Spike preliminaries, Chuck Congo defeated Eric Smith. TKO, knees and punches. Do you think Chuck Congo, this is something relevant, I'm trying to find relevancy here. do you think Chuck Congo is using Bellator to perhaps make a final run at UFC? I mean, it happened for Arlovski. He's back in UFC.
You know, I think with Congo is if he strings a few more rings together, a few more wins, he could be back in the UFC. I could see that.
He's a heavyweight still. No, he's actually pretty old. He's 39
old,
as well.
But he's a name that people know. He's still chiseled as hell. And he's, you know, let's face it, the heavyweight division is pretty thin.
It is.
If you got someone injured and you could pick someone to step in, if Congo's available, that's not a horrible choice. You know, I think he could get another run. Certainly if Arlovski can get another run, I think Congo can get another run. So
he is 3-1 in Bellator action. His only loss was for the heavyweight championship. Some guy, Menikoff?
Yeah.
Not familiar with Menlo.
Yeah, well, I think what it is with Congo was his price tag.
It could have been. It very well could have been.
Yeah.
Now, we do have other news. World Series of Fighting, a fight people were, I suppose, looking forward to. John Fitch taking on Jake Shields. Jake Shields has taken out. Thank you for the tip, Bill Olson, for that on Twitter earlier tonight. Your thoughts on this? I believe I saw your thoughts, but just tell the audience.
I relayed my thoughts on Twitter, if you can follow me on at Omega Squad. The fight just got 200% more watchable.
Very,
because
very
Jake Shields
true.
Is not in it. This was a fight that could have been really boring, depending on who they get to replace Jake Shields. Fitch is more exciting than Jake Shields, but they both have grinding styles that would have been, that may have been awful. So
oh, yes, it would remind me of Bisping against Sonnen, the first Fox card years ago now. But it would
yeah.
remind me of that. It was just a very grinding fight, and then I think there were two grinders on that one. Evans against Johnson, I believe, was on there. Not Johnson. Phil Johnson. Phil Davis.
Davis, yeah.
You had that grinder on there, too. So it could have turned out like that, but hopefully we'll get something else. Fitch has been having trouble. It was he was originally a title fight for Paul Harries. Apparently that's not happening now, so back to the drawing board without Shields.
Yeah, I don't know who they can pick up, but... You want someone with a name to fight Fitch.
Certainly.
We'll see.
Certainly. We'll keep you up to date on that. World Series of Fighting, of course. What are they on? NBC Sports Channel or something?
NBC Sports Network. But I think the card that this was going to be on is going to be on NBC proper, I think.
Oh, wow. Well, that's different.
I think there's like three title fights on that card.
Yeah, that's different all the way through. It wouldn't be Blog Talk Radio in our last show on Blog Talk Radio without having technical difficulties in that studio. Let me just tell you there. Dan, are you still around with us?
I am always here, my friend.
Wonderful. Now, I do want to bring up the fact that Daniel Bryan, some troubles.
Yeah.
They're going to take that title away from him, it looks like. Your thoughts, Dan?
What else can you do at this point? You know, and I don't mean that as a slight to him or obviously anybody, but if he's going to be out for a prolonged period of time, you got to do something with the title for, you know, for story purposes. You can't not have the title on somebody's hands on TV. I mean, I guess you could. I wouldn't. That's just how I feel about it. Do we know yet how long it's going to be? How long he's going to be out, I mean, his recovery?
I don't think that's really been necessitated.
Okay.
As,
6 to 8 weeks is what I've seen.
I didn't get an official word. I've been seeing 4 to 6, 6 to 8. So I wasn't sure which the... I think they have to do something as far as TV, you know, story-wise. Take it off him. When he comes back, you find a way to get it back on him again. Have a little chase and put it on him again. Why wouldn't they... I don't see why they wouldn't put it right back on him.
If the plan was always to take it off him at SummerSlam or Survivor Series, I think the dream's over.
Really? That quick, man?
Yeah.
I hope I'm wrong. Hope...
It was all about the chase anyway. He's done it. What can you do with him? You put him in the thing with Kane? And...
I mean...
I think that was just post-WrestleMania
the
timing.
Wall, yeah.
The fact that there was nobody built up, and the people who were built up were in these other feuds. So I really think that was why it's Kane, as opposed to, you know, if they could have got Jericho back or something, you know, it would be a different story, I think. But
yeah, I always felt that way about the Kane thing. I was just like, this seems like it doesn't fit. I mean, he doesn't need the title. I feel that he can do it without it. But I don't see why they wouldn't get it on him again. And Dean, I hope you're wrong. I hope it wasn't just that case. I don't think you are wrong, but I hope it is. I hope that's not the case.
I think it makes more sense, as we discussed previously when we brought this up last week. I think it makes the most sense to give it to the... I don't know, a holding pattern until Lesnar's back. You build up Lesnar, you got to do something with Lesnar. So he's going to be your champion. I would assume Lesnar's, though, Survivor Series to WrestleMania. But I'd like a longer reign for Lesnar, but I just don't know if the dates work out or I don't know how it works.
Go
ahead, Dan.
I was just going to say, who do you think is going to be that WrestleMania guy next year? Do you think it being anybody other than Bray Wyatt?
No.
John Cena again?
No, neither of those two. It's either Cesaro or Roman Reigns, depending on how...
Yeah,
depending on how things go. Could be Cesaro. I think earlier this year, around the Rumble, I would have said Roman Reigns, but as time goes on, Cesaro. And Cesaro as a face, finally turning his back on Paul Heyman. All the pieces are there already.
Yeah.
You'll have Brock come back. Brock will be aligned with Heyman, simply because...
Cesaro won't be.
Well, Brock needs the mouthpiece more than Cesaro, I believe.
That's very true, yeah.
And Cesaro on his own, there you go. Omega, your thoughts.
Yeah.
A lot of information there, but Omega, I want to get your thoughts before we exclude you from comment.
Yeah. Well, as Dan was saying, I think you have to do something with the title, and I think Daniel Bryan, it's unfortunate that this happened for him. But you got to do something. I mean, 6 to 8 weeks, you don't know if it's 6 to 8 weeks. It could be 10 to 12 weeks, and then you're like, okay, then we're pushing SummerSlam. We're rapidly approaching. We have Payback coming up. What is it, Money in the Bank after that?
Something like that.
Money in the Bank is pretty – it's not a big pay-per-view, but it's a pay-per-view a lot of people watch because of Money in the Bank. So you need to do something here. If you're going to go two pay-per-views without a title match, that's pushing it.
Hmm.
So I think you got to do something with it. Now, what do you do with it? That I don't know. That one I'm struggling with. In the absence of someone like Jericho or CM Punk is really who I'm thinking of coming back, which I don't think that's going to happen, then you're looking to find someone to put it on. I say bring Lesnar back if you can do it. I mean, you'll have to burn his dates, but it might just be time to let it go.
Burning his dates might give them enough time for a Daniel Bryan return. I still think it's Daniel Bryan will have it again.
I agree with that. I don't think it's the end for Daniel Bryan here. I think he comes back, but I think he's going to have to wait in line because I think if it comes to fruition, Lesnar comes back. I think Lesnar gets into SummerSlam. He's going to have it for a while.
Yeah,
you know. But the question I have is who takes it off of Lesnar. Then maybe you need someone like Roman Reigns to do that.
Yeah, either Roman or Cesaro, I say.
Yeah.
Unless they burn, they might burn Cesaro at Royal Rumble. That match, and WrestleMania would be Roman Reigns, and
I just think Roman Reigns sets up better for WrestleMania.
I said, around Royal Rumble, I would have said Roman Reigns as your guy, but as time goes on. I don't even think he's going to be the standout of... Seth Rollins has done great work recently.
Yeah.
He's coming more into his own.
Yeah, Seth Rollins has always been my favorite of the three. And he's, like you said, he's just really putting on great performances. He pulls a good... You know, I haven't only seen part of the match, but he managed to pull a good match out of Batista.
Yeah.
which surprised me. Maybe I'm not giving Batista enough credit, but I know Seth Rollins is that good. So.
Well, Batista's lost a step with that long layoff, quite frankly. Batista, around the time he left, I thought was on top of the world. It was kind of silly for him to leave, especially at his age. But he came back and he had a spot, so it didn't matter.
Yeah.
The benefits of being personal friends with Triple H. Your final thoughts, Dan, on this situation that we find ourselves in?
I don't know what else to say. My final thought is I'm hoping it's not over for Daniel Bryan. I think he'll be back in the hunt when he comes back. Hopefully it's not something that's... whenever you have a surgery like that, it takes a couple of years off you. So
yeah.
Hopefully he comes right back and we get a few more WrestleMania moments with the guy. I like him. I love Daniel Bryan. I'm glad he finally, after that whole thing, got that chance, and I just think there's another run in him after all this. If for nothing else, all the bad luck that came after it, just one after another, I think he'll be back on top before too long.
I do think I will agree with Chris and say it might be a good idea to get Brock back in the meantime and burn the oil off early, and that's just the way it's got to be.
All right, now I do want to make note of On Point Wrestling happened this past weekend. Dan, I'm going to give you some results. If you find something here that you want to talk about, just go ahead and tell me. Now, it started out, Oz Tyler defeating Reed by God Bentley.
Yes. Yes, he's still on fire. Love it.
Well, we'll get to that later on.
Uh-oh.
Latin Dragon in a surprise match, unannounced match. Latin Dragon was there. He brought his entourage, including Susio and David Starr, along with Kimberly. They were at a gimmick table in the back enjoying this one. But Latin Dragon defeated Ace Perry, the debuting Ace Perry from the Midwest. Now, here's one I think you'll be excited for. Xavier Cross, with the Financial Miracle Loudy, defeated Caveman and Kefka, the Quiet, in a three-way dance, Dan.
Yeah,
picking
up
the win, yes.
I just think Xavier Cross with Loudy is just too smart and conniving to let that one get over on him.
All right, now, moving right along. Drew Blood defeated Josh Crane. That's my pick for match of the night. Drew Blood became Arn Anderson, picked the body part and stayed with it, including an Irish whip drag, arm drag, that looked like Eddie Guerrero's leg whip drag.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Amazing. Drew Blood, he's always bringing out new tricks. I love the guy.
I don't think Drew Blood gets a lot of enough credit.
Well,
for what he can do in the ring. I really think he's one of the underrated guys on the indie scene. I really believe that.
Oh, I do as well. Drew Blood gives you instant credibility on a card, quite frankly. 13-year veteran coming this August. He knows a lot of things. He's headlined big shows, including Cage of Deaths. He's really a package that if you want to build a promotion around, he's the guy you want to build a promotion around, quite frankly. And you're crazy if you don't use him. That's just my thoughts.
good one, Dean. Yes, I agree 100%.
Now, Pinky Sanchez defeated the debuting Trip Cassidy. Again, Trip Cassidy is another Midwest guy from Indianapolis, Indiana. Good match. I enjoyed it. Now, here's one that I know you were waiting for the results of. Sam the Machine Shields, our guest from last week, defeated Joey Janela to advance to the second round of the On Point Wrestling Heavyweight Title Tournament. He will be taking on the winner of Chris Dickinson. And I forget who is involved in that. God darn it, Dan.
You got me on that one. Sorry.
I'm going to take a look right now. You just talk about that match right there.
Yeah, Sam, listen, those two are two of my favorites after being able to see them both compete. Sam Shields before and Joey Janela, just, I did not expect that, the performance I saw from him on the last show. And that could have really gone in any way. And Sam Shields just happened to pull that one out. And that's going to be, as I said last week, history making when they finally get to this title match. It's going to be, I really feel, the beginning of the next step for that company to actually have a title. You know, I get not having a title on somebody for the beginning, doing something different, but I think sometimes that having a champion gives you that extra step that you need on the independent circuit. So
now, I do have the results so far in this title tournament. The champion will be crowned in January of 2015. And Drew Blood defeated Pinky Sanchez. He moved on to advance. Oz Tyler defeated Josh Crane. So that sets up in September. Drew Blood taking on Oz Tyler in the semifinals.
Wow.
Joey Janela, of course, fell to Sam Shields. So Sam Shields advances. He will take on the winner. And this is the July show. Chris Dickinson taking on Reed by God Bentley, and we'll get more to what happened in the Midwest and New York scene. There was a lot going on there, but we'll get in more about that in just a second. So very interesting to say the least. Dickinson, and we'll get more into Dickinson as well, but Dickinson, really the most over guy in On Point Wrestling at this point.
Wow. Sorry I missed that. I really am.
So, moving right along with the results here, EYFBO, that's of course Mike Drastic and the Funky Monkey, Angel Ortiz. They defeated the Best Around, TJ Cannon and Bruce Maxwell. Fantastic match. A little bit scary, as TJ Cannon had to be taken out.
Serious?
Yeah. They did stereo 450 splashes, and if you can imagine, it's not funny, but if you can imagine, as they're doing 450 splashes, both heads smacking together.
Oh,
he was fine though.
Shoot, he came back
after the show. He was dressed. He apparently was making sentences okay. He was fine.
That's a good sign.
He was fine. He had a glossy-eyed look in his face for a little bit.
As far as you know, he woke up the next morning?
As far as I know.
Okay, that's good. You know, concussion, you never know. That's good.
I didn't have a wake-up call.
I think we would have heard by now, so.
But very good match. Very good match. Check that out when the DVD is available. And it will be available through Smart Mark Video. Moving right along, we had the Dirty Daddy Challenge. Dan Oztyler answered the call.
Uh-oh.
Now, he was injured earlier in the night, Oztyler. Of course, Reed Bentley snapped. Had enough of these East Coast fans, and I, for one, agree with them. These East Coast jaded, snobby fans. Snapped. Took it out on Oztyler. Injured his ribs. Oztyler still came out. Had a house of fire early on, but Chris Dickinson, just too much for him. Chris Dickinson wins the Dirty Daddy Challenge. And what are your thoughts on that? Chris Dickinson, the fans really respond to this guy.
The first time I saw him in CZW, I did not think I would be behind him as much as I am now. It's not that he wasn't impressive, I just never heard of him before. And this guy is one of the best performers on the scene right now, and I'm not surprised that he has the support that he does right now. I'm not surprised at all now.
Now, the main event of the evening, Dan, was if fans bring the weapons, Texas Death Match between hardcore icon Lowlife Larry Ramos taking on the Bulldozer Matt Tremont. It was a clash of eras in hardcore wrestling, the past taking on the present and the future. Dan, Lowlife Louie tapped out, had barbed wire wrapped around his face.
Wow.
And a crippler crossface. So, Tremont's your winner. However, he may have won the battle, but not the war, because before you knew it, Balls Mahoney.
Oh.
ECW original Balls Mahoney coming out from the back, attacking the Bulldozer. These two, it goes back about 2 years, Dan. The Bulldozer and Balls Mahoney. Unfinished violence taking place at Showdown at Seoul coming up July 19th, Dan. It's finally going to happen. Those scumbags in Philadelphia with that promotion? Hey, that's Matt Tremont's words, not mine. Those scumbags that couldn't put it on for whatever reason.
He said it
on the mic. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
It's finally going to happen in On Point Wrestling. I, for one, am excited to share a locker room with Balls Mahoney. Perhaps I can get in the hot seat with Balls Mahoney.
Listen.
I would love that.
I don't know how Tremont is going to keep topping himself. How else can you say it? Like I said about the last two matches he's had at On Point, they're going to kill each other.
True.
They're going to kill each other. Bloodbath, Crimson Mask, all that stuff. It's going to be crazy. Balls takes it to a whole other level. Literally.
True. Stabbed them in the head with some type of international something or other.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Object.
Yeah, or an object. Yeah, at that point it doesn't matter the fact that he stabbed them in the head.
Stabbed them right in the head, I'll tell you that much. But it was quite a match, quite a scene. Now, after this takes place, you already had this chaos. The entire locker room was out there to break up Balls and Tremont. And then the New York guys, with Dickinson, Pinky Sanchez, EYFBO, they had a problem with the Midwest guys, Josh Crane, Ace Perry, Trip Cassidy, and Reed By God Bentley, which of course leads also to unfinished violence. Dickinson taking on Reed Bentley, that's a championship tournament match. So a lot of things going on. Lines were drawn in the sand, Dan, and it's going to be settled July 19th for On Point Wrestling.
That is a... Why did they get into it? Just because they're from somewhere else, or something else going on? I don't know about my friend.
Well, no, just words were being spoken. The New York guys have been with On Point since day one. These newcomers getting a lot of press, getting to the pay windows. You know, it's a matter of respect.
We'll see how that goes.
I want to see how the South Jersey guys respond, quite frankly.
I think we might
They're sneaky.
We might... Yes, yeah, that's true. I think there might be a little three-way civil war inside that company.
Hey.
Don't you disrespect me.
Hey, I see you standing in the ring here.
Vinny.
Hey.
Come
in. I don't know about you, but 2012, I was in this ring. See, where were you? I think that's how it happened, Dan. I think that's how it happened.
I think it was a little more colorful than that.
Chris Dickinson was in the ring, yeah.
Yeah, hey, motherfucker, come here. Where were you last year when I was in this ring, you son of a...
Exactly. I had to apologize on commentary for... The action spilled out, Dan, and it was right in front of us. One fan... I always tell people on the commentary of On Point Wrestling that you're guaranteed a front row seat at least once during the course of the evening.
Yeah.
And this one young man certainly got a front row seat. He was next to Whack Packer Hogan, and Dickinson threw him right in. Whack Packer Hogan. Kevin Hogan. You don't know Whack Packer Hogan?
Oh, that's... Do we have a nickname for him?
It's always been his nickname.
I just called him Muffin Man.
You can call him Muffin Man. That works. Look, there's two of the biggest works in the business are Muffin Man, Kevin Hogan,
and Captain Dave.
And Captain Dave. They are the two biggest works. Every day, I'm sure they go home and...
Those idiots.
Got him again. As long as he keeps bringing me muffins, I don't give a crap what he does.
Really? And as long as Captain Dave keeps telling those stories that he does when we're not... when he's not around other people, that's just fine.
Certainly. But On Point Wrestling returns July 19th. And Dan, I'll tell you what, this has been one heck of a show. I'm ready to call out wraps on the final edition here on Blog Talk Radio.
Goodbye.
Good riddance, Blog Talk. Now, Dan.
We could have been together a longer time, but you had to go and act up behind my back.
Well, you know, these things happen sometimes. Relationships were meant to be broken sometimes.
Cheating for
Blog Talk Radio. Ever since Tavis Smiley came to Blog Talk Radio, it just hasn't been the same, quite frankly.
Tavis Smiley. I'm going to start a hashtag, fire at Tavis Smiley. Why are these guys coming after me? I hate you, Tavis Smiley!
Impeach Smiley!
Impeach
you
Smiley.
You son of a bee.
Now, if you agree with Omega and myself, quite frankly, I think the Ellenberger-Lawler fight is one to watch. Any other thoughts, Omega, for UFC 173?
I mean, we said it, those top three fights should be really good. It's probably worth the price of admission for the Lawler-Ellenberger card. And, I mean, you really... Lots of title implications and a title fight. You can't really go too wrong with it.
Yeah, that's true. Now, where can the fine people find you, Omega?
They can follow me on Twitter, at Omega Squad.
Dan, how about yourself?
Follow me on DanLaw83 on Twitter and Obey the Puck at Obey Puck Show Monday nights at 9 on the HIAC Talk Radio Network.
I am, of course, the Dean of Credibility, Double D. You can find me at Folsom County. You can find the official Twitter of HIAC Talk Radio, at HIAC Talk Radio. And make sure you check out the official website at HIAC Talk Radio. Going forward, that will be the site to go to find the show live and to find plenty of other things, including specials, 20% off site-wide at MMA Warehouse. That will be going on pretty soon. Free gifts will be going on Memorial Day weekend from Fandango. Make sure you check out some of the posts. I'll put them up later on tonight on this very show. So check out HIACTalkRadio.com for more information. Also, I do want to make note of something. And Dan, if you're here with me, I want your thoughts on this as well.
Yes, sir.
I heard you mute. That's why I brought you back.
I was saying something to my lovely producer over here.
Now, coming soon, Dan.
Mm. Oh.
The world's greatest American.
Yes. Yeah, yep.
The tale can finally be told. The tale of Justin America. I, for one, I'm hoping the first episode comes out tomorrow. I'm not sure.
Oh, it's a series, not a one-time thing.
Oh, this is coming out
that's
weekly.
Oh, that's even, that means it's
I probably
better.
Said far too much.
Oh, man.
I probably said far too much, Dan.
What can I say? I can't, any comment would be, I can't say anything. This is going to be one of the funniest and one of the best web series out there. I'm going to say that. It's going to be up there with anything you love that much. I really believe that. There's some genius behind this whole thing. It really, if you've not seen the trailer, please go see the trailer. I will link it on the HIAC Twitter and retweet it on mine. You must watch this trailer. It's beautiful. It's going to be a beautiful thing.
Freedom, patriotism. That's all I have to say.
What else do you need to say?
And the only thing, I'll tease this a little bit. The first entry of this web series.
Oh, boy.
We explore the very humble and somewhat, well, not somewhat, but the oppressive beginnings of Justin America. All I can say is Bucks O'Shame. But moving along. Again, I am the Dean of Credibility Double D. Make sure you check me out at Folsom County, FOLSOMCOUNTY. So check out Folsom County on Twitter, HIAC Talk Radio on Twitter. That's pretty much the way to find us. Just type in HIAC Talk Radio in Google, and you'll find things that I'm not even aware of, quite frankly. A lot's there, Dan. But Dan... You know,
a lot of stuff that I've tried to forget.
I'll tell you what. This on this final edition on Blog Talk Radio of HIAC Talk Radio, I can only think of one song, and that is Last Pale Light. Of course, it was... featured on The Walking Dead. You can pick it up on The Walking Dead Volume 2 soundtrack, available now on iTunes. But The Last Pale Light, as we say goodbye to Blog Talk Radio.
Good night, everybody.
And check us out tomorrow on Mixlr. The link will be up later on, as Moose Knuckle Radio certainly does debut tomorrow on a new platform. And I can't wait to hear the intro tomorrow, Dan. It's going to be amazing.
I will be listening just for the quality on this point. I mean, I can replace Donnie. Just call me Danny.
Nah.
Close enough. Nah. Yeah. All right. Nah. Bad idea.
We'll You're be right. talking about the unemployment signing petitions.
I kind of went in on that. I'll talk to you later. We're going. Good night, everybody.
In my hands, I hold the ashes. In my veins, black pitch runs. In my chest, fire catches. In my way, setting sun. Dark clouds gather round me. head free. There's a light to be found.
Your perfect.